Alrighty, here we go again. Venting my frustrations with the world. Welcome to Mostly Hairless Apes. This is Dr. Gene Mesko. Talking to you July 11th, 2024. Fair and Balanced is the one that got me last night. Just this week, I've been... seems like the pressure's building here in the States for the election issues. If you follow the politics stuff, it gets really crazy. And I guess I get frustrated because I have this idea that we're mostly hairless apes and that evolution is the primary mechanism driving life on the planet. And we've come up with all these marvelous adaptations to organize ourselves and take over the planet. And I just wanted to share those. And because right now we're looking at this really critical node in history. And I go back and forth with being frustrated and being okay with it, because obviously when you take evolution as your main mechanism of life, when you accept science as your belief system here in the Church of Science, where mostly hairless apes go to praise nature, call me a naturalist, a humanist, whatever you want, but I'm just human like the rest of us and trying to figure this out. And when I look at the world and what I see are people doing things based on adaptations. And a bunch of them are artificial, are human adaptations. We could go down the rabbit hole of philosophy about free will, but that becomes a moot point because either we have it or we don't. If we don't, it's irrelevant. Anything we do, it's ridiculous. But I will agree with definitions, a variety of neuroscientists, that free will is really hard to come by, that we are the product of a lot of previous baggage, I guess is one way to think about it. We all have our baggage. We talk about emotional baggage. If you've ever done therapy, you might talk about family issues or mom or dad or siblings or money, religion, you know, different abuses that have occurred in life. Obviously, we're all subject to our exposome. That's a new fun word in biology and science. The idea they've summed up the entirety of development. I mean, one of the things that I talk about when I teach evolution is that evolution as a standard model occurs over generations as changes to life and Earth. That's the nice, safe way to look at evolution and natural selection. But when we change ourselves individually, that's development. And developmental biology is a whole separate discipline. And everybody protects their academic silos. And developmental biologists do cross over with evolutionary biologists. And they talk about evo-devo, which is a really fun concept, that how does evolution and development interact. But I think an easier and even better way to look at it is to use evolution as the general principle of change. And when an individual develops, that's artificial selection, because that's what's happening with humans. We develop at some point, somewhere around between the age of 1 and 2, according to the clinicians, we become conscious and we develop a sense of self. Now, prior to that, we're just mostly hairless apes squirming around, and babies can be cute, but they're adorable when they're 2, because that's when they're figuring out the world. That's when we start making an idea that I'm me and you're you, and we have the ability to interact, and I can choose to do things. And that's where free will gets sprung out of the cage. It's some neural circuit that we haven't identified yet, but down inside of our brains we get this marvelous ability to see stuff and look at the world. And as we look at the world and we try to sort it out, we pick up our baggage. We get exposed to everything that's out there, the exposome. And the exposome is just a way for scientists to say, wow, you've inherited a genetic package from your parents, but then you were raised in utero, and whatever mom did helped influence our development. Genes got expressed and made proteins, RNA molecules that dance to the choreography of metabolism. And we process nutrients as best we can. We get exposed to pathogens and different environmental chemicals We start modifying our DNA. There's the whole field of epigenetics, which goes down that rabbit hole. And down in that rabbit hole, you can get adaptations that can get passed across generations. So it's a continuum. Evolution is a continuum. It's not just generational. So biologists need to move past that and appreciate that humans cause things to happen. And we have to delve into those social sciences and talk about politics and history and economics. And that's where I come in, because that's what I'm trying to sort out here in the Church of Science, as a mostly hairless ape is saying that artificial selection is what we do all the time. Every day we get up and we have the capacity for artificial selection. If we consciously can focus, and that's where prayer and meditation and all of those practices have evolved over the years, because people realize this. They realize unless you get your shit together, get your shit in one sock, as they told me in the Navy, that you can't move forward and get anything done. But you should get up every day, make your bed, try to figure out how to control the world and your little slice of it. And when we do that, we can take control of our lives. And we don't have to be this chaotic, reactionary ape that just responds to the stimuli around us. But that means you're a healthy, whole human. And that doesn't happen a lot, because it has to be cultivated, it has to be nurtured, it has to be grown, it has to be challenged. And we have to figure out how to ask those questions and appreciate that I'm an agent of life and I can alter the planet. And some people get it because they're born with more resources and they're born with the idea that you can control a big chunk of the universe. The idea that there are resources to be manipulated and systems of government, of rules that can be worked within or around, and you can set your sights on a goal and work your way through those social adaptations and change your life and change the world in the process. And that's the most amazing thing about life and evolution, is that it's this ongoing process and it literally is created every moment. And we can subject ourselves to natural selection and just rely on our emotions, our impulses. I mean, we have urges and lusts. That's the id, going back to Freud. It's all about how do we control ourselves and what is that spark of consciousness. And unfortunately, as I've talked about before, a lot of it gets suppressed because social systems, social adaptations are all about maintaining civil order, civilization. And that's how we build these groups. We build all of our groups and our different civilizations, and they all depend on the core beliefs. And that's why religion has been such a great belief system, a great adaptation. And among the belief systems, most of them are religions. Most of them have some sort of deity. You can go to some of the Eastern religions and they don't have, they'll tell you that they don't have deities. But I like the idea that the Church of Science promotes and says use science as our primary belief system, which basically says you only have to assume one thing. You have to assume that the world works on consistent principles, and if we can figure out the right experiments and ask the right questions and make good observations and look for patterns, we can uncover how the world works. And when we do that, what I see, and I've been doing it for 64 years, well, only 62, I guess, if you go 2 for consciousness, that what you end up with is either it's some kind of life, whoever you get. And I have to say, I've had a pretty good run. I'm getting ready to retire. I be in the bank, own my own home, and I have decent amounts of friends and family. I've got resources to work with, enough to sit here on a computer and talk to whoever's out there. I know you're not a lot of them, maybe a few people. But I wanted to talk about fair and balance today because we're getting into the political season. And that's where I'm going to go this next few, take us up to the election here in the U.S. and talk about it. Because I think this is a major inflection point. When you study evolution, you look for patterns, And one of the things we do with natural selection is we create phylogenies. We create family trees. And those family trees are these marvelous histories. We do it with human families. We talk about genealogy, and you talk about your parents and your grandparents. And you go back in biology, when we do natural selection, we do macroevolution. We talk about species, and we talk about how different organisms have evolved over time, and how different mutations have occurred, and different selective pressures have favored certain traits. And if enough of those individuals survive and reproduce and accumulate differences over time, we might actually eventually get a whole new species. And that's what we get. And then somewhere a few hundred thousand years ago, humans came around. And the numbers vary. We're not quite sure. You're talking about digging up stuff out of the ground and looking at dead bones, looking at molecules and DNA sequences. And it's a little tricky. But we'll go with the minimum ones. And for 50,000 years, we've been doing human stuff. And I think that's a nice number for consciousness, because that's the really great adaptation that we have. Up until about 50,000 years ago, at the minimum, we've been mostly hairless apes, and we've mostly been reacting to our natural urges. We're just like chimps and other people, other species, that may or may not have degrees of consciousness. Consciousness is probably variable by degree. I think anybody who has a sense of self has a degree of consciousness. I think dogs and apes and dolphins have a degree of consciousness. I think if anybody is willing to play, dogs play, dolphins play, apes will play, that if you can laugh at yourself and think about the world, you appreciate that you're in it. And it's a matter of how much control you have. And humans have the most control right now. We've taken over the planet because we've developed really advanced civilizations. Every civilization requires a belief system. That's the biggest thing that distinguishes humans from those other conscious organisms, is we have civilizations. And civilizations depend on belief systems, because we acknowledge that the control we have is limited. That's the key thing about being civilized. We realize that there's boundaries. And, everybody's going to die. That's where religions have milked it for a long time. Because by playing with the afterlife, I think that's why Christianity is so, and Islam are so popular, is because they hit on a real key component of the formula. I mean, think about the first humans who were conscious. Let's go back 50,000 years and think about being conscious for the first time. And your little troop of first humans said, wow, I'm me, you're you, and we've got this little group, and we can hunt and gather and fuck and reproduce and make babies, and somehow it all works. I don't know how it all works, but it's got something. I wonder, but what is, and you ask questions. That's the thing that happens with consciousness. That's what allows you to play. What if I do this? And you can amuse yourself with different tricks of the world. But at some point, you start asking the big questions, and you say, well, why is there air? What's going on out there? Who made all this? And that's where we get gods. Gods are a really great answer to doubt, because that's the problem with consciousness. If we're going to ask questions, if we're going to be able to be aware that I'm self living in the world, and I look around me and I see all this stuff, and I can't explain it, I don't have answers, then I start making stuff up. Then I start supposing answers. That's what consciousness does. Consciousness is a what-if machine. It asks that question of, what if I do this or I do that? And because it worked, it was selected for by evolution. Evolution says, hey, if you can survive and reproduce more, you win the game of life. And the humans who figured out better ways to do stuff, who asked what-if questions and came up with new tools and new techniques and could remember stuff, then put it to use and change it and create new patterns. They became the first civilized humans because they figured out how to solve problems and enhance their life. And then they had to come up with rules. That was the whole thing. They had to say, well, all right, we've got all this stuff. How are we going to share our resources? How are we going to behave towards each other? And so they came up with governments and economies. Those are the two big adaptations that conscious organisms use within a civilization. They make rules about how they behave, and they just figure out how those rules distribute resources, because that ultimately determines who stays alive and who reproduces and what happens to our species. But if we don't have complete knowledge, we have to ask questions. And we end up with the big questions about why. Why should I behave that way? Why should I trade these things? Why should I share things? And that's where gods came in. Gods came in and said, wow, this lord says this. And gods probably evolved because some people who were a little smarter than the average bear got tired of trying to explain things to people who didn't get it. I've been a teacher for decades, and you get tired of explaining things to people who don't get it. And education is an evolving science, a sub-discipline of science. It's a new science. We really haven't considered teaching. And we've done it, obviously, for thousands of years. We've taught people how to do stuff. And one-on-one teaching is the Socratic method. The idea of one individual leading another is the best way to teach, I think, because then it's personal, and then you don't miss anything. But we've evolved it into this mass production thing to handle our large economy, and we don't know how to do it on a large scale yet, or do it very well. We're getting there. And we throw out all this media, and we're getting there, and that's how we get things like fair and balanced news and educational programs, because we've realized the power in consciousness is being able to remember things and have information, is have answers to the questions. Once we have answers to the questions, we can solve problems. And that's what civilization does. And so, but religions realized there are limits because we didn't know. So they let God do it. And that's such a beautiful thing. Faith in a deity allows you to accept your ignorance. That's the beautiful thing about faith. It says, I don't know. But you're okay with it because God will take care of it. And I'm so tired of that answer in science classrooms. Because people who don't understand science, who won't really accept their belief as a system, as the church of science, fall back on religion as the main alternative. And they just say, I don't know, God will take care of it. And we're at a point in history where science has given us a lot of good answers. And when you look at those answers, we say, wow, that's a better way to do things. We know about pollution. We know about economies. We know how to share things. We know about the psychological impact of baggage of abuse and neglect. And we know what is required to make good humans. You got to have a set of rules. You got to have consistent standards. You got to be able to maintain the rules. Except where we are now, because we've got two conflicting adaptations in our modern world, especially here in America. The two conflicting adaptations are the two real adaptations for the belief system. What's our fundamental belief system and what is it anchored in? And does it primarily support economic adaptations or government adaptations? That's the issue. Because you always need rules. No matter what, you got to have rules. And the rules ultimately run into questions. Why should I do that? And that's where religious rules are really useful, because they just say, shut up, God said so. You don't have to think about it. You stop thinking if you're a true believer. You have faith. But if you're a scientist, if you're a member of the Church of Science, you say, well, wait a minute. Here's a better rule. These guys published this paper. They did this research. These gals figured out how this thing works. Why don't we do it this way? Or at least try it out. And that's how we move things forward. And people begrudgingly do that. And that's the whole idea of conservative versus progressive. Those are two perfectly reasonable opposites on the spectrum of governance to run a civilization. However we are, we all wake up into a civilization. We're all born into a civilization. And there's stuff that's been established. There's stuff that's worked in the past because it's built up whatever civilization we're in. And we could grade civilizations, we won't get into that. But whatever society, whatever civilization you're born into, you inherit a whole bunch of information and a whole bunch of rules and an economy that distributes resources, and it's going. And what are the ones in America? The government is democracy, and the economy is capitalism. Those are the two major adaptations that we've used. Except on the conservative side, we primarily focus on religion as the belief system, versus on the progressive side, on the other side, we focus on science as the belief system. We say, where's the facts? What are the information about this? You know, oh, wait a minute. Black people are human? What the hell? Maybe they should have rights. That was like a revelation for progressives 200 years ago. And we said, okay, we're gonna let black people have rights and vote too. But then we say, oh, women? Women are human too? What the fuck? These people have brains as well, and they have consciousness and self. Well, I guess we got to let them vote. But prior to all of that happening, what had happened for centuries is white guys had dominated. That's part of the problem we have. That's the main residue we have here. And that's what evolution shows us with our long history, is that for centuries, we had a bunch of old white guys who'd accumulated resources, the European model of royalty, which basically was built on force. That really just grew out of biology. And biology says, well, one of the ways you can maintain order is to have fucking force. You can have a police force, you have a military, and if somebody gets out of line, they won't listen to the rules, you throw them in jail, or you kill them, or you exile them, or you do something. And we've been doing that for centuries and centuries. We've maintained order, and we built a global civilization. And that's been a neat thing. But then we said, well, wait a minute, what about this democracy thing? And we finally threw out the royals. That's what the 20th century was about. We threw out the royals, and we said, here we go. The royals are out. Democracy's in. And it always, the communists did that. They said, oh, democracy. But they fell back on the aristocratic rule, too. They said, hey, it's really great to be a royal. It's really great to be in charge. And they fell by the wayside. And everybody's embraced capitalism because it's making money is even better. And capitalism is a really great way to distribute the economy. Except when it leaves people short, when people get greedy. That's the problem. Because democracy says, we have to share. If everybody's human and we're all the same species, we have to share. Capitalism says, fuck you, I don't have to share. It's mine. Come and take it. Come pry my gun from my dead fingers. Because that's why we've got a whole bunch of people who, on the right side of the aisle in politics in America, all the fucking red hats, their whole resort to violence is because that's all they've got. That's all they've got in their argument. Their argument is, we want capitalism to be the main form of government. We want the economy to dominate the government. We think whoever owns stuff should get to make the rules. And that's no different than what the royals said for the last forever, for centuries and centuries. So we haven't finished democracy evolving ahead of capitalism. And that's where the next node is. That's where the next evolutionary node has to be. And that's what we're coming up to in this election of 2024 in America. That's really the argument on the Republican versus Democratic side. The Republicans say, nope, a bunch of people own stuff. We get to put out what we want on the media. We get to say what we want. And if you don't like it, we're going to tell people who have guns to fucking shoot you. And that's the bottom line of their argument, is that we have to maintain order. And we're going to do that by threatening you. As opposed to the other side that says, well, wait a minute, what about all these other people? What about trans people? What about gay people? What about women? What about minorities? What about non-believers? What about people of different beliefs? Nope. They've decided to hook their wagon to the majority of people, which happen to be white Christians. That's why we're getting this Christian nationalism. Because in reality, most of them have just some resources. They do have some resources. If you live in a place like I do, in the 14th Congressional District of Georgia, and you look around, most people have their own home. It might only be a trailer, but it's their own space. And the last thing they want is to be pushed into a city. And they go to a city like Atlanta, and they see a bunch of poor blacks crammed into ghettos, essentially. And they say, I don't want any part of that. I want to maintain my own space. And so I'm going to side with the guys who say you should be able to keep your own space. That's why it's a relatively rural phenomenon. Because America evolved as people broke away from that aristocratic rule. And we stumbled onto a whole frickin' continent. That's why America worked. It's the only reason America worked. America with freedom and democracy only worked because there were enough room for everybody to get out of each other's way. We were all able to get out of each other's way and get our own space, and each man made his own castle, and we all got to be tiny little aristocrats. And we all got to be obnoxious assholes who said, this is mine, and if you step over the line, I'll fucking shoot you. And that's how we've been doing things for centuries. And at some point, we have to figure out that we've run out of room. We have this planet that we have to share. I totally support space travel and exploration, and I think that's where we're going to go next. But for right now, if we want to make a better world, we have to figure out how to share. And so the easiest solution is a really easy solution. You just say, as opposed to capitalism running the government, you say, let the government run capitalism. And when the government runs capitalism, people say, oh, that's socialism, it's communism. No, it's just people voting for stuff, and there's only one thing you need to vote for. You say, we want capitalism, we want a capitalist economy. We should have merit, people should have to earn a living. But you know what? Earning a living means just that, just a basic living. Everybody should have the opportunity to earn a basic living. And how do we do that? Well, we have to make the economy less efficient, which means we don't have these pyramids of power, which are freaking rich people who suck up millions of dollars. And that's all we have to do is put a cap on capitalism and just say, oh, you make over $10 million a year? We're going to fucking tax you at 90%. And nobody needs more than $10 million. Okay? And what are we going to do with all that money? We're going to build schools, and we're going to build roads, and we're going to build energy plants, and we're going to build cleanup opportunities, and we're going to build space exploration sites for people to expand, and we're going to build houses. And we're going to steer all that into capitalist endeavors. We're going to steer it to contractors and developers to build stuff, and to teachers to teach things, and to doctors and nurses to take care of everybody, and to engineers to build more stuff. But it's not going to go to the fucking aristocrats. We're tired of aristocrats. We're tired of filthy rich people telling us what to do. That's the decision that we need to make. In 2024 in America, we have to say, enough's enough. You guys have money, and you don't need it all. It's just because the economy is shaped that way, because we've said, if I own it, if I own a sports team, if I own a corporation, if I own this, and I can just suck off as much money as I want, even though all these other people are necessary workers who keep the organization going, who clean the arenas, who work the assembly line, who fucking wash the toilets, who take out the garbage. Everybody should make a good living. Everybody should get some vacation. Everybody should have a retirement plan. Everybody should have freaking medical care. Everybody should have opportunities for education. We have to grow kids. We have to take care of old people. We have to do all that shit in our lives, and we have to do it on a level that says we're human. We want to be civilized. We want to keep it in a civilized manner. And everybody gets that chance. And we can do it if all we need to do is just say, we don't want any rich people anymore. We don't want any uber rich people. We could have rich people. 10 million. 10 million is the number. If you are more than $10 million, step up to the mic and tell me why you need more than $10 million a year. While people are starving, while pollution is occurring, while people can't get educated, while people can't get health care, tell me why, ethically, you should have that many resources and control so many things that then allows you to deny those things to our fellow humans. Whew. Sorry, that was today's rant. Take care. Be good out there. And if any rich people, any excessively rich people say, oh, we don't want democracy to run capitalism. We don't want the government, we don't want the people to vote for taxes and laws that say really rich people don't get to make the rules. Tell them to go fuck themselves.